In early 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band made the first jazz recording. Over the next 100 years, we've heard transcendent leaps of creativity and staggering virtuosity. We have experienced the music of crushing pain, breathless romance, anger, exhilaration, and humor. This is that story. 100 years of jazz recordings. From WTJU Charlottesville, your host, Russell Perry. In 1940, Minton's Playhouse on West 118th Street hired drummer Kenny Clark as a band leader. For the house band, Clark hired trumpeter Joe Guy, bassist Nick Fenton, and an eccentric pianist named Thelonious Monk. Although Monk recorded with Coleman Hawkins in 1944, he didn't record with his own group until 1947. Despite these kinds of gaps that occur throughout his discography, he is competitive with Duke Ellington for the most recorded composer in jazz. The Blue Note recordings of 1947 to 1952 include many of his most recognized compositions. Gary Giddens wrote, "Thelonious Monk conducted his first record session at 30 in 1947, organized his first working band at 40 in 1957, and dropped from sight at about 55 in 1972, although a small coterie of musicians, notably Coleman Hawkins, Mary Lou Williams, Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker, and Bud Powell, esteemed him from the beginning. He labored in solitude for most of his most creative period. His records were ignored, his compositions pilfered, his instrumental techniques patronized, his personal style ridiculed. Yet no voice in American music was more autonomous and secure than Monk's, and no voice in jazz relied more exclusively on jazz itself for its grammar and vision." In their book Jazz, Gary Giddens and Scott DeVoe wrote, "A product of Monk's first session as a leader, Thelonious is considered his first masterpiece, a work that shuns the usual theme and variations format of bop and shows off his compositional ingenuity and fierce independence." In 1947, a Billboard reviewer called it a controversial jazz disking worked out on a one-note riff. But that repeated note, a B-flat, sometimes doubled as a B-flat octave, is a deceptively simple front for the descending chromatic chords that shadow this 36-bar variant on the AABA song. In Thelonious, the three wind instruments are used to voice the chords, and the only soloists are piano and briefly drums. The result is a kind of piano concerto incorporating various elements of jazz history, from stride to bop. And here it is, Thelonious, from the Thelonious Monk Sextet, recorded in October of 1947.
Thank you.
Thelonious, from Thelonious Monk's first recording session in 1947. Monk's second session, 9 days later, was a legendary mix of reworked popular songs and startling new compositions. Ted Gioia, in his History of Jazz, wrote, "In this piano trio setting, he adopts an even wider range of mannerisms, and not just his futuristic techniques, but snippets of older jazz styles as well, on the alternate take of Nice Work If You Can Get It, a remnant from Monk's Minton days, still in his repertoire. He slips in several unexpected bars of stride piano. On Ruby, My Dear, he provides two bars of a figured bass that hint at the left-hand patterns of Boogie Woogie. Perhaps Mead, Lux Lewis, and Albert Ammons were on his mind. After all, they were favorites, with Blue Note Head Alfred Lion. Because on Well You Needn't, Monk again adopts elements of Boogie Woogie, this time in his right-hand block chords. But all these ingredients, whether old or new, borrowed or blue, manage somehow to cohere. The pianist's personal signature is so strong that everything he touches turns, if not to gold, at least to Monk." Here is that alternative take of Nice Work If You Can Get It, from Monk's second recording session, the trio of Thelonious Monk, Gene Ramey on bass, and Art Blakey on drums, from October of 1947, followed by Ruby My Dear, Well You Needn't, and Off Minor, all from that same session. Thank you. four tunes from Thelonious Monk's second recording session, Nice Work If You Can Get It, the alternative take, Ruby My Dear, Well You Needn't, and Off Minor. While Monk recorded primarily music of his own composition, he has several standards that he returned to throughout his career, playing with such originality that they became an extension of his work. April in Paris, for example, he would record again in the 1950s and in the 1960s, and live recordings show it in his stage repertoire. Listen for drummer Art Blakey. As Giddens wrote, Blakey, of course, requires more than parenthetical mention as one of Monk's finest collaborators. You can almost hear him hearing the pianist, so deftly and emphatically does he shift dynamics, bearing down when appropriate, floating the rhythm with unfaltering exactness. April in Paris, from the Thelonious Monk Trio, from October of 1947. The Thelonious Monk Trio, from his second recording session, April in Paris. We'll return to the Blue Note recordings of Thelonious Monk when Jazz at 100 continues in a moment. Thank you. Welcome back to Jazz at 100 and the first recordings of Thelonious Monk. Monk's third session for Blue Note, this time with a quintet, includes another set of original compositions that will become standards, including Round Midnight, already recorded by Cootie Williams in 1944, and Dizzy Gillespie in 1946. The Thelonious Monk Quintet, George Tate on trumpet, Sahib Shihab on alto, Thelonious Monk on piano, Bob Page bass, and again Art Blakey on drums, November 1947, In Walked Bud, Monk's Mood, and Round Midnight. Three selections from Monk's third session on Blue Note: In Walked Bud, Monk's Mood, and Round Midnight. And now Thelonious Monk with vibraphonist Milt Jackson. The July 2nd, 1948 session, in which Monk plays Cat and Mouse with vibraphonist Milt Jackson, stood out as the most complete statement to date of his unorthodox musical values. Four selections from the Thelonious Monk Quartet from July 2nd, 1948, Milt Jackson vibes, Thelonious Monk piano, John Simmons bass, Shadow Wilson drums, Evidence, Mysterioso, Epistrophe, and I Mean You. Thank you. From Milt Jackson and Thelonious Monk, four Monk compositions, Evidence, Mysterioso, Epistrophe, and I Mean You. According to Ben Ratliff from the New York Times Essential Library of Jazz, the Blue Note recordings made with trio, quintet, and sextet are small group jazz that would forever sound new, Monk was already known among musicians. He'd already written Epistrophe and Round Midnight, both recorded by Cootie Williams. Listen to Thelonious with its contrary motion horn harmonies in the head and two stunning choruses of piano soloing. They weren't stunning for their smoothness. Monk was inventing a new kind of urbanity, one that challenged his audience's assumptions by making them think he was playing one unconscionable error after another. We will return to Jazz at 100 in a moment to listen to the only session to feature the three pioneers of bebop, Dizzy, Bird, and Monk. Welcome back to Jazz at 100 and the Diz and Bird session of 1950 featuring Thelonious Monk. While it would be 3 years before Monk recorded under his own name again, in the interim, in June of 1950, he recorded for the only time with Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker in the Diz and Bird session for Norman Granz, featuring mostly Charlie Parker originals. The Dizzy Gillespie Quintet, recorded in June 1950, Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet, Charlie Parker alto, Thelonious Monk on piano, Curly Russell bass, and Buddy Rich on drums. We'll hear the tunes Bloom Dito and Relaxin' with Lee.
Thank you.
Blumdido, and Relaxin' with Lee, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Thelonious Monk. Throughout Jazz at 100, we'll return to the music of Thelonious Monk from time to time. In the next hour, we'll introduce the recordings of pianist-composer Tad Dameron with his frequent but short-lived collaborator Fats Navarro. The next great bebop trumpeter after Dizzy Gillespie, we'll also hear from two of the greatest and longest-lived bebop soloists, Bird's rival, alto saxophonist Sonny Stitt, who recorded until 1982, and the first significant bebop trombonist, J.J. Johnson, who was active in the music until 1996. You've been listening to Jazz at 100, a history of 100 years of jazz recordings produced by WTJU Charlottesville and made possible in part through a grant from the Virginia Endowment for the Humanities. For full playlists, including all of the players and recording dates, please go to wtju.net/Jazz 100. There you can also stream any of the programs in this series you may have missed. This is your host, Russell Perry. Thanks for joining us.